guys were doing. Oh, oh, good. I'm sorry, Dad. Okay. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Circle Square Ranch, it was founded by Norm Bonk, who also founded this church, right? I got that right? Yeah? Okay, good. I'm pretty sure. And I do believe it was founded in the 80s. I think it was. I probably should have done a little bit of research beforehand, but we'll just 88. There we go. And so the camp has been around for a long time. And like many camps, or probably all camps, it's kind of been at a standstill for the past 2 years, 2020 and 2021. In 2021, we were able to just run day camps, and but it was very limited. It was kind of all the restrictions were changed sort of last minute for camp ministries. And so this was kind of the first real year back with camp. And it was a year of rebuilding. So I'm going to share a little bit about what happened. First off, I want to tell you about my lemon tree. I have a lemon tree. I am just kind of discovering gardening a little bit here. And my lemon tree has taken a little bit of a beating. Somebody let the dog out one day, and somebody may have tripped over my lemon tree early this spring when I had it sitting out to get some sunshine, and somebody may have broke the pot that it was in, and somebody took it and was like, well, I'll put it back in the basket, broken pot and all, and I don't have time to deal with it, and I left it, and believe it or not, there's my lemon tree. Believe it or not, though, it did not do so good at all. It did terrible. All summer, it did not grow. And in fact, the few leaves that it had just quickly disappeared, and all it was a stick. And that's my story of my lemon tree for now. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38 says this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So my role at camp is the office administrator. I told our director, who there was a picture of a little earlier, on the front of your bulletin, though. I think she's the one on the far left-hand side of the picture. Her name is Rachel. Oh, thank you. I'm sure I had one here, but no. Her name is Rachel, and I told her towards the end of the summer, I said to her, I've discovered something about my job description. I said, it's a suggestion. If I'm bored and have nothing else to do, that's what I can do. I played many different roles this year. I helped in the kitchen. I did work first aid, actually 1 week. It was another fellow and I were the nurses. We are very blessed that everybody came out alive. And I also did some plumbing one day. So I did a lot of different things. And that is generally how camp works. You go with a job description, and if you get to your job description, that's a good thing. A good day then. And this year, though, was definitely going into the summer was very nerve-wracking. We were without workers. And we can't have sheep without a shepherd. We can't have fields. We can't be bringing in the crop if there's nobody there to work it. And it was a very scary. Thank goodness I didn't have to worry about a lot of that. In fact, I didn't even know about some of it till later on. But this summer, we are majorly lacking staff. We even had some situations, I even found some emails, where staff were hired, they were all set to come, and then they'd be like, oh, I got a better job offer, or oh, I need more money, I decided to go to college, so I'm going to take this job instead. And last minute, we had people pulling out. It was not uncommon to have that. However, we did have some miracles with our staff. And so I want to share some of those stories. First off, we had very few preseason staff. I'm glad to see you guys here today. Caddy was one of the few, I think, for preseason staff that we had even set up. And it was looking a little bare bones. Finally, we had some groups coming in for the spring, some school groups. But you have to have staff in order to have the groups. And there was some male staff that we had then. We got Caddy, JJ Draper. But there was no female staff. And somehow, two random girls who were attending the Pacific Bible College on the West Coast heard about Circle Square Ranch and their need for staff. So they jumped in a car, drove out to the middle of Saskatchewan. They had never been to Circle Square Ranch out here. And they said, we're here for spring staff. We'll be your spring staff. And so they are, yeah, Rachel here. And then we have Gracie and Grace. And Gracie and Grace are two girls who came from the West Coast. They were just going to stay for preseason. In the end of June, they said, you know what? Gracie said, I can stay actually until like the end of July. You know, I have a family reunion and then I have a few things, but I'll stay until then. And so now we gain another staff. And then Grace was like, well, you need a junior camp director. Caddy was our adventure camp director. And she's like, I guess I could do that. And so suddenly, a bunch of our slots got filled by Grace and Gracie. And they were an incredible blessing to the ministry. Both of them were just an absolute joy to have around. When Gracie left, we had our staff meeting that morning. And so we're just praying for her, for her travels. And of course, my kids spent an extraordinary amount of time out at camp, more than most other campers. But Lainey was bawling her eyes out. She loved Gracie, and we would not have been able to do some of the things we had done if it wasn't for them. That's perfect. I will. I'll give you direction. Don't worry. Then we had a family, and Noah and one of his brothers, I'm not even sure which one it was, had arranged to go to a camp more northern Saskatchewan. They've gone there for many years, and they're from the Carriport area, and they called and said, oh, we're going to be coming, like, when do you need us? And the camp said, and I've never heard, we have done camp ministry for 15 years, I've never heard this said before. The camp said to them, we actually have enough staff, we don't need you. And so here they had taken time off work to go to this camp, and they're like, well, what do we do now? So they started calling around to different camps. They called Kettleson Camp, they called Dallas Valley, called Echo Lake Bible Camp, a whole bunch of camps, and every single camp said to them, well, I think we have enough staff. You can send in an application. If we need you, we'll fit you in. And so they were sitting together as a family, and they're like praying, and they said, we want to go and minister at a camp this year. Where can we go? Let's just sit down and pray. And as they were praying, Julie, their mom, she said, you know, she's like, I remember Crossroads. They had some camps called Circle Square. I wonder if they have one in Saskatchewan at all. So they looked it up. Up comes Circle Square. They didn't even know it existed in Saskatchewan. So they called our office. I remember getting the call, and she's like, hi, I was wondering if we can volunteer out there. And this is the end of June. Like, we're starting camp in, like, a week or two. And so I remember I was like, I'll give you to our director because I have no clue what's going on. So I passed her through to Rachel, and Rachel gets off the phone, and she goes, this lady wants to volunteer for, like, a few weeks. She's like, and she's bringing some of her kids. She has a couple boys that are coming. I'm like, oh, that's great. We need boys. She's like, yeah, one of them is a lifeguard. And I'm like, well, that's perfect. So Julie shows up. She's a mom to 8 kids. 5 of them still live at home. They range in age from, I think, 22 right down to 12. And the ones who live at home, believe it or not, were all boys. So suddenly we have, like, no male staff got filled up. We have I had to write their names down because I was like, I'm going to blank. We had Noah, Seamus, Shimon, Shamil, and Josiah. And those boys knew how to work. They served. And then when they were done serving, they would serve some more. And then they would serve some more. During all-girls camp, I can tell you this, that the first aid station was a popular place. Noah was our first aid guy. And I have never seen so many sprained ankles in my life. I said to Noah, it was kind of like, Noah, can you wrap my leg? I think I sprained my ankle all day long. That was the week that I stepped in. And I'd be like, ah, Noah's actually out right now. I'm spraining your ankle. And the miracles that happened, like suddenly people could walk again. It was miraculous. It really was. And then we had Erin. She had come out to work. She was supposed to work at the ranch for 1 week. All of our counselors have to put their phones. We have a bucket in the office. They have to put their phones in there for safekeeping. And she'd come and check her phone. She'd be like, can I just check my phone? I asked for, like, next week off work, so I just have to see if I can get it off. I said, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I'm not sure if Erin has a job to go back to. Do you know? Yeah, I think she actually ended up losing her job because she basically was like, the camp needs me, I'm staying out here. And so this young girl, she ended up staying for almost the entire summer. And she served. She was a server. And we were blessed to have her. Then we had a family, this Julie with her boys. They actually had to take a week off. They ended up staying pretty much the entire summer. So they had taken a week off to go home and do some holidays with the rest of their family. But she felt bad that they were taking a week off of volunteering at camp. Just great people. You need people like that. I have guilt. And so she got a hold of some people. And she's like, I'm going to see if I can find some people to fill in. So she ended up sending a young girl from Karenport who came. She also had connections to another family from Whitewood. And so she had told this family, it was a large family as well, they have a bunch of kids. So she had said to them, do you think your daughters, yeah, this family had a bunch of daughters, do you think your daughters would be able to help out at camp? And so they were passing through from Whitewood to Moose Jaw, and they decided, well, we'll just stop in and see. And so I remember meeting the girls, and they were sitting there, two of the girls, and we're talking to mom, and she's like, well, we're going to Moose Jaw, and we'll be back through on Wednesday, midweek through our week. And she said, but, you know, I'll bring them out next weekend then, and they can work here for a week or two. And the one daughter goes, well, why don't you just drop us off on Wednesday, and we'll just stay right through then. And so on the way home from Moose Jaw, they were dropped off. And so we end up with three of the sisters. They came, and they all served for a couple weeks. And they were a huge blessing as well to the camp. Hard workers and a joy to have around. And then we had a certain Kendrick. So to my understanding, Kendrick wasn't even going to come to camp at all this year. And he got roped in by Caddy to come on out and help out. I don't know if I actually saw a day without Kendrick all summer long. There were a few odd ones who weren't there, but you were there for the majority of the camp, weren't you? Yeah. We realized we couldn't get rid of him. Now we had, like, the opposite. First we couldn't get him, and now we can't get rid of him. And he actually gave up almost all your summer shifts, didn't you, at the nursing home, so that he could serve at camp. And he was a joy to have around, and got to see a whole other side of Kendrick at camp. You can tell he's got some dance moves. He's a hard worker, and he has a very good heart. And he looks spectacular in a suit. Yes, absolutely. And, pardon me? So we were blessed. And the crazy part was that we're normally camps always, in all of the years that we did camps, it was always trying to find male staff. And I'd be on the phone trying to, do you know, like, a male staff who can come out and volunteer? We need a counselor. We need a boys counselor. This year, it seems like we had an overflowing of male staff. Our all-girls camp, we had our kitchen full. Where there was about five or six male staff helping out in the kitchen. And they served. I have some pictures a little later on we'll show. They served those girls, and they did a lot of hard work. And we were just so blessed. We also had another family who would come out early, early in the morning. And spent many, many hours helping out with our horses. They went home with blisters on their feet. And they served. Yeah, I didn't get to see them as much because they were down with the horses, and that was definitely not my department. I know horse looks like, and I know that you shouldn't stand behind a horse, but other than that, I don't know a whole lot about a horse. But these girls do, and they served, and we are so blessed to have all of them, and Rachel's expertise out there, there would have been a lot of gaps if it wasn't for them. So what are the needs at camp right now? We need more adult volunteers for next year, for sure. And long-term plans are to bring on more year-round staff. And in order to do that, we need finances to facilitate that. So back to my lemon tree. 2 weeks ago, I decided that I should do something with this lemon tree, and I decided to move some plants around in my house. And I had an empty pot, and so I decided, hey, this lemon tree can be potted into this empty pot. And I didn't have a lot of hopes for it. And I didn't put a lot of faith in my lemon tree, I can tell you that. Now, if we flip over to Matthew 19, verse 14. Actually, I'll do 13 and 14. It says, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed his hands on them, he went out from there. So who did we reach this summer? Well, a good number of our campers were from foster homes. As the office administrator, I can tell you that. Getting checks from social services for these campers, we had a lot of kids who came from foster homes. Some of our children dealt with emotionally painful life circumstances at camp. One camper actually lost a parent while they were at camp this summer. It was a rough one. We had another camper who dealt with guilt that their mom had no help to watch with the younger siblings while they were at camp, and this camper actually had a panic attack one night. And when we talked to them, they said, like, nobody can help my mom. I have two younger siblings, and no one's there to help them. And so they called home just so that they could be sure that mom had it taken care of and that the siblings were okay. Another camper asked to call home. They had a panic attack, worried and checking in with their mom who had a new boyfriend. They wanted to make sure mom was okay and safe. Everything was going okay with the new boyfriend. These are kids who have heavy stuff in life. We dealt with children who have had missed opportunities and deal with anxiety due to 2 years of pandemic life. We have a generation of children now who may have very real anxiety and mental health issues due to the impact of the pandemic. And that was obvious. We had kids who typically would have been maybe attending their third or fourth summer, and instead couldn't even stay the night. They would have anxiety about staying the night and away from home, and just things that we needed to kind of walk with them and their families through. Day camps, we actually ran day camps this year in conjunction with our overnight camps, and day camps proved to be an asset for many locals. We even had some parents driving almost an hour one way every day for 5 days to bring their kids to day camps. These were parents who were very committed and wanted their kids to get the camp experience, and their kids were not ready yet for an overnight camp, and so they made it work. And our day camps, we actually, the 1 week, our junior day camp had almost 20 kids in it. It was very large amount of campers. We had some kids who came back multiple times, and then we even had a couple kids who, after doing day camp and saying, hey, I can do this, ended up staying and coming for overnight camp, which was really exciting. And it was a lot of communication with parents this year, a lot of calling, making sure their kids were okay, and more homesickness than we typically have. In my role at the camp, I didn't get to do a lot of one-on-one with the campers. Usually if they're in the first aid room, I got to know them a little bit. And some of our kids maybe who had just had, need a little bit more mental help. And there was a few of us who had kind of had, had the time and ability to sort of spend a little bit of one-on-one time with them. I got to know those kids, but generally Throughout the camp, the kids who were doing good and causing no problems, I didn't get to meet. So I don't know all the different campers and situations that we had. But who else did we reach? Well, we got to have teens who got to step into leadership positions for the very first time. It was really cool. We had we had one group of boys, one cabin of boys, who had a little bit of a blowout one evening. And so one of the other leaders and I, we talked to one of the male staff, and we said, like, what happened here? And he said, I'm not even entirely sure. I think there's multiple layers to this. So we say, well, after supper, before we do our activity, let's get them all, sit them all down, find out what happened. Like, is there something we need to call parents about? Like, you know, how big of a deal is this? And so we sat in this, went into the room and sat in a circle, and this other lady and I were kind of just observed. We were just there in case we needed to actually make any calls to parents or anything. We just needed to know what was going on. And we watched as one of our male staff sat there with these boys, and he said, okay, what happened? And who did what? Who said what? And I watched as, like, young boys would raise their hand and go, well, I said this. And another boy would go, well, I punched him. And I watched this circle as these boys just confessed. They owed up to what they had done. And I watched as the male leader who was there, as he walked them through it and walked them through reconciliation. And I can tell you one thing, if that's any reflection of the generation that's being raised, there are some really good people coming up. To watch these boys who had spats, I mean, that's to be expected, but to see them owing up to what they had done and to be forgiving one another, it was really cool. And I was really proud. And I was really proud of the young men who were leading and the example that they set. These counselors that we had, the staff that we had, were gentle. They were people of character, servants, fine young people. We had one young guy who, he was a part of our LIT program, and he had been gone for a few days or for a couple weeks, and he was coming back to help out, and it was right towards the end of camp, and everyone was getting extremely tired. It was just very fatigued, and we were all kind of done. And he came in, and he comes into the office. He goes, what can I do? Can I clean something? Do you mind if I, like, wash the floor? And I was like, no. Go right ahead. And then he came in and, can I go take out the garbage? Do you think they need help in the kitchen? And I'm like, yes, like, whatever you want to do. Yeah, you can do all that, no problem. These are people who weren't being pushed. These were people who were volunteering, who were offering. And unfortunately, though, like the disciples trying to push the children away from Jesus, we actually had to turn away some campers this year. Our accommodations, we have the motel unit that has all the dorm rooms, and then we also have wagons, so wagon sites, two wagon sites, one for males and one for females. And I believe between those two sites, we are close to holding about 100 people in those two locations. Unfortunately, the Ministry of Health, in their regular coming and checking everything out, in the last year or two, said that the regulations have actually changed now for overnight camps, that where it used to be a certain distance you had to have between beds, now they go by square footage. So for each person who's in a cabin or a room, you have to have 40 square feet per person. Our wagons are 90 square feet. So legally, we can only have two people in each wagon. And so this meant that everybody then had to be housed in our main facilities, and it limited how many people we could reach. We had people on wait lists, and we had to turn them away, which was one of the hardest parts of the job, was calling and saying, sorry, we can't get your campers in for camp this summer. And so, in turn, we have a need now. We have a need to figure out some new accommodation ideas, and get some solutions out there, and hopefully be able to expand the ministry and the reach that we have. So yesterday we were out of town, and when I got home, I walked past my lemon tree, and I don't know if you can see there, but there's a little flower budding. You see, when we get the right materials and we get the right housing and we get the right vessel to hold something and we can actually water it and the water's not shooting out the broken edges and it can actually be held in, life can come from that. The camp in the last couple years has kind of been like my pot. It was broken and damaged and not working properly, not functioning, not being able to do its job. And we're in a year of rebuilding. And we're in a season of rebuilding. And we need to come up with some new solutions. We need to find some new pots to pot ourselves in, to situate ourselves in, so that we can hold in the water and that hopefully we can see harvest come from the ministry that we do. The year that Justin and I started dating, we started dating at camp. Justin was the director and I was the speaker that year, so we figured it was an exception for us. But there was a young camper there who had started coming that year. His name was Mikey. And Mikey had some health issues and some mental health issues and was on some medication, and you had to time the medication perfectly so he wouldn't fall asleep before you needed him to, but so he'd fall asleep on time where he wasn't keeping everybody else up. And so we'd have to find this little window, and there was a few of the male staff then that we'd get him his medication, and they would take him then for a quick walk to sort of let the medication do its thing, and his counselors could get the rest of the campers ready for bed. And then usually by then you could get him in and get him just before he would pass right out, you could get him into bed. And so the year that we started dating, Mikey was at camp, and so a couple nights, Justin and sometimes one of the other guys, and they would be taking him for a walk, and I would join. And we got to know Mikey really well, and he was a sweetheart. And every year after that, Mikey would come to camp and come and give us big hugs right away. I don't know if he felt like our like surrogate child, since he was there through us starting to date. And then the next year we got married, and you know, he kind of just felt like he was a part of our life. And he was a precious kid. He was a really precious kid. And we've talked about Mikey many times throughout the years. And last summer I got a message from his sister. And she said, "You guys were from Springside, right? From Springside Camp." I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I just wanted to let you know that Mikey died in a car accident the other day." And she said, "I was over at his house, though," and she's like, "There's a picture on his fridge of you guys and him." And she's like, "I just want you to know the impact that you made in his life." This was 14 years beforehand that this picture had been taken. And at camp, sometimes camp seems like such a short, fleeting thing. They come for a week, and we send them home for 51 weeks, and we don't see them again. And we don't understand the impact, and sometimes we don't see it at camp. Sometimes we don't see the big life change. Sometimes we don't see those decisions that are made. But to hear the story of Mikey and to hear how his life was impacted by a couple people who just started out impacting his life because he needed to be out of the way for his counselors, and then we just developed this friendship with him, and we got to tell him about Jesus, and we got to tell him about the love of God. And my deepest hope right now is that in all the chapel services we had and all the times that he heard about the love of Jesus, that he accepted that love of Jesus. And my hope is that someday we get to meet him in heaven. And but camp is not just a short, fleeting thing. It is an impact that will impact people for their entire lives. I know that, Rachel, you said that you first were impacted in your love for horses, even at Circle Square Ranch. And It's not just a small summer ministry. It is a ministry that has implications. So I had the privilege one week of being at the all girls camp during the week of VBS too. I was like, felt a little bit ADHD that week because I would come for VBS in the morning, go back to the camp in the afternoon and work in the office, and then in the evening I was speaking, and it was like trying to like flip my brain off and on all the time. But I had the privilege of speaking for all girls camp, and I think it was the last evening, I shared about God sightings, pulling a little word from VBS there, or Holy Spirit moments. And so I shared four different stories, a couple from my own life, a couple, one from actually a man that I met on YWAM in Haiti, and another one of a man named Brother Un. He's a Chinese Christian, and he, if you've ever had the opportunity to read his book, Heavenly Man, it's phenomenal on the moments, the Holy Spirit moments in his life. And so I shared some of these stories, and this was totally unexpected. We were out at campfire, and as I was sharing one of the stories, one of the girls raised her hand, and I was like, well, yes, what would you like? And she goes, can I share a story of a Holy Spirit moment, like a God sighting? And I was like, yeah, okay, just let me come back to you. And so I came back to her then, and so she shared her story, and then somebody else was like, can I share a story? And soon we had about five or six campers and counselors who all shared these moments, the Holy Spirit moments, or God sightings in their life, and it was so cool to see kids, their eyes opening maybe to situations in their life that, man, that wasn't just a coincidence. That was like God. Or seeing that the Holy Spirit is real and in their life now. Throughout the summer as well, our family had already been booked to go to Kettleson Gospel Camp, and so we went ahead and took off a week and went to Kettleson for family camp. And things that were on my heart kind of all through the summer kind of were, I guess, spoken during Kettleson. And the speaker for the morning service, the one day, he was speaking on raising up and supporting the next generation, that we need to get behind them. And he was speaking to the seniors there, and he's like, we need to step up, and we need to get behind our young leaders, our young kids. We need to start raising them up. We need to be mentoring them. And I thought, what a timely message that is, especially considering I'm working at camp, and I've gone now from being a camper to a counselor to, directing camps to now working at a year-round camp. You know, it was kind of a timely message for me, and watching our young leaders coming up, watching these young kids coming up and being impacted, and I thought, this is really cool. And then the one evening we were having chapel service, and I do believe it was the worship pastor that was leading that night, he paused during the song service, and he said, if you need healing, I just want you to raise your hands. So all around the building, hands went up. He's like, hey. He's like, I want all the kids. I want you to be brave, and I want you to go out and lay your hands on these people who have their hands up, and I want you to pray for healing for them. We're supposed to have faith like a mustard seed, and we're supposed to have faith like a child. And watching these kids going and praying in faith, having that little mustard seed, and having the faith of a child to pray for healing was so cool. And then another evening, the evening speaker actually stepped up and kind of interrupted the service partway through, and he said, there's a lot of people who have lost joy. I mean, we've been through 2 years of really hard things as a society, and he's like, some people have lost joy. He's like, I want you to come forward and just stand at the front here if you want prayer for joy. And so the front filled up, and he's like, who best to pray for joy than our kids? And so he asked the kids to come up, and these kids were walking along, and they're just like, I pray for joy for you, and just going on. And I mean, there was, you just couldn't help but be joyful. Like, you're being prayed for by these kids who just are laughing and giggling and just having fun and have so much faith and joy. And it was so neat to see how God took one situation at one location and tied it in with another situation at another location. And the theme this year seemed to be that our kids have so much more value than maybe we place on them. They are worth investing in. They are worth raising up. They are worth mentoring. And whether there are young kids or our more transitional kids, we need to be behind them, and we need to be, in some ways, beginning to hand over to them the things that God has for them, and to be encouraging them to grow in those things. So, for camp this year, here's our summary of where we're at. We need prayer support. We need ministry partnering opportunities. We're looking at some different opportunities to maybe partner We've been in contact with Esalen College now, and we're looking at maybe some partnership with them. We actually were given this year a scholarship to give out for Esalen College and to somebody who had worked and was looking for opportunities. So our friend Noah from one of my first stories, I said to him one day, I was sitting with his mom at lunch, and I said, so what are Noah's plans for the fall? And she said, well, she's like, he quit his job in June. He felt like he needed to quit his job. And she's like, and he's just kind of waiting for God to direct him. So I was like, do you think I could help God? And I said, I have a $4,000 scholarship for Esalen College. And he was, when I was given this to give out, he was the first person to pop into my mind. And she goes, oh my goodness. She's like, we've been praying about something like this. And so before I even had a chance to tell him, his mom had already told him. They'd already gotten onto the website, and he'd already downloaded the application. And I do believe that he should be starting school tomorrow now in Esalen. So Esalen College is kind of partnering with us in giving us, that's an emergency alert, in case you haven't had one yet today. I don't know who else is going. You might, yeah. Hopefully that gets resolved soon. Just in case we missed it, now we all got it. But so we're going to be partnering with Esalen and some opportunities there, and they are looking at giving us some more scholarships next year to be able to give out to staff who come and help us out. We need people support. There's a lot that needs to be done out there. They were hit by the storm, not as much as some other locations, but there's still some work that needs to be done and cleaned up there. We also have groups coming in this fall. And so there's just projects that need to be done all the time. So there's no deadline for them. And financial support. We need to look at expanding our year-round staff and at new accommodations, like I mentioned. And that's kind of that. So here are some pictures then from our summer. And if you've never been out to the ranch, there's actually an apartment on the second story for